Praise
God.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, camp was great for the senior campers this coming week. Junior campers are up. Pray for them, will you?
Amen.
Amen. Another thing happened at the camp meeting, not a part of the camp meeting, but at camp this year. On Tuesday, our district board met with Brother Fred Zimmerman, and his wife was there as well, and I was there. And they interviewed him for his minister's license, and he was granted his general minister's license with the United Pentecostal Church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when I went through my minister's credentialing, I started out with a Christian worker's license, and then went to the local license, and then went to the general license. Fred just jumped over all that and just landed right where he is.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's a blessing to our church. I'd like him to come and greet us for a moment, Fred, and then you can introduce our speaker. Give him a hand again.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's been a good week. Praise God. I don't feel a lot different now I'm licensed. But, sitting under Brother Greeley for over 20 years now. So been in this building for 15. I think I was back at IBC when they got this building. Remember hearing about it, the church roof collapsing on Bank Street. And the church has changed considerably over the years. But praise God. God is going to do something great in Connecticut. It's just momentum is building. Camp was just impactful this week. And I just, I remember, I actually got the Holy Ghost at camp 23 years ago. Yes. Darren brought me there. But I remember my first couple of years in church, especially, like how, like, just one message, or like you go to camp and just like for weeks afterwards, you still just be thinking about it. Like, just it really just, you're so moldable and impressionable. And I just pray that somehow that God would use me, the whole ministry here, Darren, Pastor, when new people come in here, that the same thing is duplicated, and where they just feel the presence of God and the Word of God just talking to them right where they're at, and it just changes their whole way of everything they think about. Praise God. And I just really hope that God continues to do a work not only in me but in all the ministry in this church, raise up even more ministers, and that the work just continues to build momentum. Amen. Praise God. And Darren's actually, I think, he's actually coming to give us a word today. And I thank God for Darren. He is the first preacher that God sent me back when I was on sub base, and he wrestled with me and got me to come to the house of God, because I was not really too interested in the Pentecostal church. So, but thank God, he knows the word. And he really does have a great understanding, like a Bible scholar. Like, you don't get this kind of, you can go to Bible college and you have a lot of theologians there, but we got one right here in our own church. Praise God.
Thank you, man. Love you, bro. We got to give honor to the ministry, and I'm so thankful for the ministry of Fred. You know, when I got my license, they asked me a bunch of questions, and, they want to make sure I was okay. And I remember Brother Fred Dibble asking me, what do you need this for? What do you need the license for? I said, well, I really don't need it, because I've already been preaching and teaching and doing Bible studies. I don't need the license to do that. And I'm thankful for Brother Fred teaching Bible studies. Matter of fact, if you want to have a Bible study, Brother Fred's been looking for people to do Bible studies with. Amen. You will be blessed each time you look into the Word, each time you sit with a teacher. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. I know you're standing for the reading of the Word. I do want to say thank you and just acknowledge Sister Kritzia and Brother Carlos here this morning and their family. Amen. So thankful to see you. Amen. And good to see all of our guests. Of course, most of you are becoming regulars. Amen. It's great. Sister Alethea, last Monday, she received the Holy Ghost right there in the water of baptism. Amen. We had 25 people here in prayer meeting last Monday. We had good church on a Monday night. Praise the Lord. God's not limited to the day. He wants to fill people with his spirit every day. Praise the Lord. I want to read from the word here. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. And we're also going to read Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Someone say, without walls. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Amen. I want to preach to you this morning just for a little bit. It's only 15 minutes to noon. Amen. I want to preach, build the wall. Build the wall. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, to touch me. Have your hand on me, Lord Jesus, as I deliver the message, God, that you want your people to hear, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Anoint them, Lord God. I ask you, Jesus, to help us all this morning, Lord God, as we go to your word, God, as we worship you, as we praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done, God, already in this service, Lord Jesus. And you're going to do even more in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We had a lot going on this morning. A lot of people coming, a lot of people going. Amen. I almost have to stop and take a breath. Ah, there we go. When I was young, I really, really enjoyed drawing. I used to draw on my notebook in church, and sometimes Brother Meffer would be preaching and he'd be walking around and he'd look down and he'd see the little doodles in my notebook. And sometimes he would even stop, put the mic down and say, "What are you drawing?" But I would draw, like, he'd be preaching about the lamb and I'd be drawing a little lamb. One time I drew a gumbo. Anybody remember a gumbo? And he said, "I know what that is." See, when I was real young, I gave my pastor a gift and it was a gumbo. Amen. And, not the food, the little green man. Praise the Lord. And that was my favorite toy. So I gave it to my pastor. I figured he'd want to play with it. Oh, gumbo. Yeah. I'm thinking food because it's almost noon. Gumby. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But in seventh grade, I was assigned a book report on an autobiography, and so I chose my hero, Bill Peet. Anybody heard the name Bill Peet? So Bill Peet was, he loved to draw as a young kid, and I read the autobiography. I thought I was getting off easy because there was a lot of pictures in that book, and really enjoyed reading it. A picture book autobiography is the way to go. So I was assigned this. He in fact was one of the main illustrators for Walt Disney, and he is in the credits for 101 Dalmatians and Dumbo, and he could draw anything and just animate it, and it makes the animal look alive and move around the page. And I turned in that report, and I had actually hand-drawn a cover, and I earned the only perfect score. It was a 400. The only perfect score, not just in the class, but that the teacher had ever given out in her 28 years. She made me stand, made a good example of me, and said, "This is the only perfect score on a book report that I've ever given in my whole career." So I was pretty good. And I drew everywhere. But I'm 43 now. And even though I've drawn a little bit, I went to college 10 years ago and I went into some advanced drawing classes, and I actually won an award. I was going to show you a picture of it, but you can ask me later. I won an award for a drawing that I did in pastel. It was an abstract drawing of a guitar taken all apart and floating kind of on the page. And so my wife said, "You won an award." And I said, "Oh yeah, that's cool." And she said, "No, you get money for that." And she went and picked up the check because it was $50. Praise the Lord. So I can, if I apply myself, I can draw pretty well, but I haven't developed anything and I rarely draw anymore. And I try to put that creativity into my work, but a lot of times at work, they're just looking at walls of data. They don't want to see art. And, but they tell me, "Man, your reports look really good." I didn't have a debilitating accident. Nobody told me to stop, but it was a gradual decline. And a week of without drawing turned into a month and a year. And then 30 years later, my gift really remains largely dormant. And if that would have been a wall, nobody tore it down. Nobody made fun of me for it. Nobody took it away from me. I just stopped building. Proverbs 25 verse 28, we open with, says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." A city without walls is not a city that necessarily lost a battle. It's a city that anything can walk into, because no one took the time to protect it. And that's like a man, the Bible says, that has no rule over his own spirit. Not one big catastrophe, not an attack, but 1,000 short mornings where the work just didn't get done. Nehemiah had bigger problems than a kid that didn't draw, right? He was 1,000 miles away from home in Shushan, the palace of the Persian king. And he was the cupbearer of the king, the most powerful man alive. And his brother came back from Judah with a report. We find it in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. It says, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the Lord, before the God of heaven." You know, he didn't say, "Oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's a shame," and then ignore it and go back to work. But he heard one word of that report that most of us would just completely skip. And that word is reproach. Jerusalem, the inhabitants, the people had become a reproach to the people around them. The wall wasn't missing. It wasn't just missing. It was saying something about the people who lived behind it. See, a broken wall is not a total loss, but a broken wall can be a testimony. Paul calls us epistles, read of all men, open before them, and your life is a testimony. And it is supposed to proclaim the goodness of God. But I want you to hear this warning that I have this morning with love. If you let down on living for God, that says something too. See, everything that you've stopped taking care of is seen by someone. If it's not the enemy, it's by someone else that you should have reached. The prayer life that you used to have, the Bible with dust on it, the seat that you used to fill in every service, it's not just saying what you, it is just not saying what you want it to say. And it's not the goodness of God that changed. It's that you stopped building on it. How should we handle broken walls? Well, watch what Nehemiah does. See, he carried that burden with him for 4 months before he ever said anything. He fasted, he prayed. And then when he was in service of the king saw the look on his face and asked him what he wanted. So he asked the Persian king for the one thing that no one dared to ask for. He said, let me go home and rebuild one of the cities that you conquered. And the king said, yes. He gave him letters even of protection for the road. Nobody can touch Nehemiah. He actually went into the storehouse and provisioned timber out of the king's own forest. And he got to Jerusalem. And for 3 days, he walked around and he didn't even tell anybody why he came. He went out at night and he examined the walls that were broken down and he examined the houses and the buildings that were in ruins. And he measured the damage before he announced anything. And then he stood up in front of the people who'd lived behind that rubble for their whole life, generations. And Nehemiah in chapter 2 verse 18 said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. See, it was the testimony of God's goodness that Nehemiah spoke. He didn't go around pointing out what everything that they had done was wrong, or he didn't point out all the broken places. He didn't point out all the broken houses. No, he testified of the goodness of God. Amen. And he testified of the king's favor and the provision of God. And that brought the proper response. Let us rise up and build. See, nobody built Jerusalem by grieving over it or complaining. No. They rebuilt by deciding to build. And when the whole work was finally written down, it comes down to what they built and why. In Nehemiah 4:6, which we opened with, says, so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Amen. You know, they decided to put their hands to the work. So built we the wall. Not God built the wall while we watched. Not someone else is going to build the wall. No, for the people had the mind to work. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 3 is in fact one of the chapters that people skip over too, because it's a list. 40 something names that I can't even pronounce most of them, but it says, and next to him, unto him, and after him, all the way around the city. But that list is, it's not just filler words. That list is actually an assignment sheet. And there's one phrase that keeps being repeated. And each time, all the way around the wall, and it's in Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 28. It says, from above the horse gate, repaired the priests, everyone over against his house. Over against his house. This person would be assigned a section over against his house. Everybody, the priests didn't get a better section. The rulers didn't get an easier section. But each man walked out his own front door and repaired a piece of the wall in front of where he lived. See, God didn't hand out the whole wall to one person. He handed out sections. And it was sections around where they lived. Nobody could repair your section for you. Your neighbor was busy on his own section. And that wall did not just have one man's name on it. I know commonly we say Nehemiah built the wall. But no, Nehemiah organized. He did help build the wall. But each one of these names is who built the wall. But it would have had a gap, amen, wherever somebody didn't show up. Look, a wall is uniform. If it is built right, nothing stands out. It's never graded on its strongest section. However, if one section is broken down, it would be noticed. And it would be noticed by the wrong people. It would be noticed in the place that nobody repaired. Look, you can pray the most religious prayer, but then you leave your tongue unguarded. You can know the word, but leave what you watch unguarded. You can shout on Sunday, but leave Monday morning wide open for the enemy. And by Monday night, you decide that it's not important to pray with the people of God. The enemy's not looking for your best section. He's looking for the gap. And one line in that chapter hits me every time. It's in verse 5, Nehemiah 3, 5. It says, and next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. That made me feel some kind of way. I have to say it. The nobles thought they were too good to repair the wall or do the work. And the nobles of anyone had the money to hire somebody to do the work. They had the influence. They had the position. They had the name. And when the work came, the work of the Lord came around, they would not put their necks to it. A few verses later, those same Tekoites are back and they are repairing a second piece. The Tekoites built twice as much. The nobles built nothing. Listen, God does not record your potential. He doesn't record your name, your means, or your talents. He records the progress on your section. In the parable of the talents, the master did not hand out the same amount to everybody, but he held everyone accountable for what they did with what they got. The talents you have, the gifts you have, the means you have, the title you have, it's not your qualification, but a mind to do the work of the Lord is what qualifies you. Amen. So where's your section? Where is it? Well, it's the wall around your mind. What you let in, what you dwell on, what you rehearse when nobody's listening. It's the wall around your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. And it's the wall around your actions. See, the devil does not have to be strong to walk into a life that has no walls. He just has to find the place that you ignored and the place that you never rebuilt. And you cannot defend yourself against an enemy from a city that has no walls. I want to guard my mind. I want to guard my heart. I want to guard what I do. Amen. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to have the mind to work. I want to have the desire to work. I want to see the work of the Lord in my life. Can we lift up our hands and ask the Lord to help us? Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Listen, apathy is the enemy of your testimony. That's what leaves decayed and broken walls the way they are, and neglect it and make it worse. That word apathy, it shows up in scripture, in Proverbs. And it means sluggard. Apathy is, I don't care. Apathy is, it doesn't matter to me. The truth is, the wall didn't go up because they were excited about it. The wall went up because they showed up. Proverbs 20 verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. It's not that he refused to plow. He just didn't plow the day he was supposed to plow, because it was cold that day. Nobody starves in the spring. You starve in the fall over a decision you made in February. You don't lose your harvest at harvest time. You lose it in the cold days of the early spring. And the man who won't work always has a reason ready. Proverbs 22 verse 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. A lion. Not just, I don't feel like it. Of course. It has to be big enough to justify staying inside. I'm too tired. I've got too much going on. I'll start when things settle down. That lion has been outside of your door for years and has never even taken a bite of anybody. Don't build your life on hypotheticals, because you're not going to do the work. Thank you, sir. Nehemiah's crew had already found their lion halfway up. Nehemiah 4:10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. That's their lion. That's their excuse. There's so much rubbish. Well, of course there's rubbish. That's what happens when a wall falls down. But the rubbish was an evidence that they could not build. Their excuse was not valid. The rubbish was actually the wall. Every stone that they were tripping over was going to go back into the wall. Look, the mess in your life is not proof that God cannot use you. It's the material that he uses to rebuild your life and give you a testimony. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord if you believe that God can take your mess and make it right. Hallelujah. When they got close to finishing, Nehemiah's enemies sent word, come down off that wall and let's talk it over. He was like 99% of the way there, Pastor. And somebody came to distract them. Nehemiah 6:3 says, and I, this was his response, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? The question is, how should you respond to critics and negative people that oppose your work for God? What you should do is say, no, I cannot come down. I cannot, because I am doing a great work. And if I stop, I will lose momentum. And I may not ever complete what I started. Then I ask, they ask, why? Say, because I'm working. You got to keep momentum going. When God does a good work in you, go do the next thing. Amen. You have to know, you have to have discernment to know when someone's going to help or hinder your momentum. Just tell them, I'm not coming down.
And I'll tell you exactly how you know whether or not somebody's helping you or hindering you. If you look at their hands, do they have a hammer in the hand? Are they working on their section? Let me show you what that looks like in church.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. If they're worshiping, if they're in the work of God, if you can see that they're making progress, well, then let them help you. But if they don't have any tools in their hand and they don't come to Monday night prayer, well, I'm sorry. I don't want to step on feet. Amen. And they're not here at Bible study and they just skip everything that's spiritual. Look, I got to be real with you. I'll listen to you, but please don't stop my momentum. Amen. I'll pray with you, but please don't stop my momentum. Amen. And I know a little bit about working on something. And it took years before it looked like anything, before anything panned out. See, the same year that I was assigned that book report in the seventh grade, I got another talent, another gift. Can anybody guess what it was? It wasn't preaching. It was playing guitar. That's right. Playing guitar. I started playing guitar the same year I wrote that book report. Two talents, the same year, same hands. And for 10 years, I really didn't do much with either thing. I learned, of course, I learned enough to get by on the guitar. I joined the Navy. I got out in 2006 and I came back to Connecticut. See, Pastor Greeley had just taken the church over the year before. And Alyssa was here helping her dad. And yes, the reason I came back was Alyssa. Amen. I had talked to her. I talked a lot on the phone with her. And I said, well, what are you guys doing for music? And she said, oh, we use recorded music. And I said, look, why don't, when I come there, we practice some songs and I've got a couple of music sheets and you've had a couple of lessons and why don't we play and sing together in the house of the Lord? See, recorded music just, it's not going to do. We've got to do this thing ourselves. And if there's going to be music here, amen, we should use the gifts that God gave us and play and sing. And so we'd learn, we practice. And in fact, Brother Fred even jumped on board and we got a drum set given to us by Heritage in Bristol, a little blue drum set. I think someone still has that blue drum set somewhere, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe we gave it to another church. I don't know. But see, Fred didn't really know how to play the drums and we didn't really have the space for him. So we actually put Fred in a totally different room. And I'd say in the microphone, Fred, are you ready? Just start playing, Fred. We'll catch up with you. Amen. Some of you guys remember those times. I have a picture of Brother Tony sitting behind that drum set. Thank God for that. Brother Tony came up out of the water in 2008, went and got changed, and came back and gave Fred a drum lesson. I remember that. Praise the Lord. But that was, seems like it was such a short time ago. We were just there. But we played like that. This year will be 20 years we've been playing like that. Amen. We've gotten pretty good together. Amen. And more people are coming. God's really put a focus here on music in the church. And I'm so thankful for that. I had learned some theory, of course. I got better. I made real progress, and in 25 years, I had only written three songs. Three. Not because I neglected it. I really never put it down, but I was laying a foundation. And I didn't know what God was gonna do. I just kept thinking about it, kept learning, kept playing. And I really just was playing to play other people's songs. I really wasn't interested in writing my own songs. But just about right as COVID hit, I got sent home and I had a guitar within 3 feet of me at every moment in that office, in my home office. So I started playing. In between meetings, I would play. And now that I don't work there anymore, I can say I was even playing in some of the really boring meetings. I would just go on mute and pick up my guitar and play. And if they ever said my name, I'd just stop the strings real quick and say, "What was that?" Look, I'd never stopped putting effort into playing. I just was playing someone else's stuff. But just this last December, I got to open a letter from the Library of Congress. And I had been able to copyright and register 10 songs in my name. And I've actually written over 30 songs. So I'm working on recording those and sending them off. Look, yeah, praise God. Thank you. I'm not saying that to, you know, boast or anything like that. I'm saying that all that effort for 30 years, 25 years of playing and learning and putting the work in actually led to something that I never saw coming. It was building something that I never expected. And when it did finally get complete, praise the Lord. God is still working and drawing people, and I'm teaching people, and God is so good. See, God gave the gift. That letter didn't come from the gift. It came from 25 years of investing in the gift and preparing for something. Amen. God gave me the gift, but the learning and the practice is how I kept building on it. 2 gifts that year. Same me. And one of them I kept working on, and the other one I put down. Amen. One's now a whole catalog of songs, and the other is not what it should be. I could not have done that alone either. God had to give me the gift, but someone else had to come along that was also working on their gift. And the wall had to be joined together. Hundreds of services that we've played in this church. And I didn't do any one of them by myself. Not one was solo. Alyssa was beside me. Other worship leaders, Sister Jerry, all of Brother Fred, thank you. Everybody that has ever sang or played, you helped me, and I hope that I helped you too. Praise the Lord. The music in this church it's pretty good. Amen. This morning it sounded really good. Amen. And that wasn't because of just me. Praise the Lord. In fact, I was able to come down and pray with people, and the music was still good. Praise the Lord. What makes the music good is more than one person deciding to build and then joining those things together into a chorus, into unity, into worship. Amen. The thing is anything I ever give away, it comes more back to me in blessing than I ever send it out. Amen. I've been so blessed by everybody that I've been able to play with. Brother Tim, I love playing with you, man. Praise the Lord. Brother Bill, man, awesome. Brother Bill's like a dad to me, and I love it. Praise the Lord. Look, the wall's not complete until your section meets up with another person's section. It's how we grow together. It's how we're part of the kingdom of God. And I want to be practical really quickly, because we have 2 lists in our heads and we try to keep them separate. One list is what we think is the real work, the calendar, the job, the bills, the life plan. And the other one is spiritual. It's prayer. It's the word. It's fasting, holiness, the church, our witness, and we treat one like it's optional, like decoration on top of the first list. Oh, it's nice to have those things, but that's backwards. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says this, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Ye shall never fall. Listen to that. Show me one thing on that first list that comes with a promise like that. Does the calendar, the job, the bills, the life plan ensure that you won't ever fall? The answer's no. These spiritual things are not decoration on top of the wall. They're the stones. And Nehemiah is the proof. The man who rebuilt Jerusalem did not do one thing his own way. He did it all God's way. So that second list must become primary. It must become the first list. And God promises to take care of the rest. I remember that Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we've got to have prayer. And months after he fasted and prayed over that report, Nehemiah was standing in front of the most powerful man in the world. And the king asks him what he wants. In Nehemiah 2:4 it says, "Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven." Look, there was no time for Nehemiah to go anywhere. There wasn't time for him to bow his head. There wasn't time for him to say, "Hold on a moment." But the king was waiting for his response. And in the half second between the question and his answer, Nehemiah prayed. Look, you can't do that if prayer is the last resort. Only if it's already an established connection with God. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." That was their normal habit. It wasn't an emergency. It was an appointment. And it was on their way to the normal that a miracle happened. Pretty soon, the miracles become normal as a result of your normal habit. Amen? But if you only pray in a crisis, you'll meet every crisis with uncertainty. If you pray without ceasing, though, you'll put every crisis immediately in God's hands and know that he will take care of you. That's prayer. Put up my brick wall up there, buddy. Prayer. The word. The word. When the wall was finished, the first thing that happened inside was not a celebration. No. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 1 says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." They didn't ask for a feast. They didn't ask for a celebration. They asked for the book. "God, what do you want me to do next?" You want to know God? You got to know his word. Amen. Not just about the Bible. I've met people that said, "I read the Bible 7 times and don't understand a word about it." It's not about owning several of them or not about having 10 Bible apps on your phone. No. You got to know it well enough that it comes out of you when the pressure starts pressing down on you. Because Satan is going to try to put pressure on your life. Things are going to try to put pressure on your life. And you've got to answer the way Jesus answered. Thus saith the Lord. It is written. Amen. You've got to fast. We need fasting in our lives. Matthew 6:16 says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Jesus said, when ye fast, not if. Jesus didn't command us to fast. He assumed that we would. And most churches have nearly abandoned fasting. And that's sad. It's the one discipline that puts the flesh back in order in your life and submits the flesh to the authority of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. We gotta fast. Praise the Lord. We need holiness. Amen. Follow peace. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is not optional. Not if you want to see Jesus. Look, I don't pursue holiness because I follow a list of rules. I pursue holiness because I love Jesus and I follow Him. Amen. Some people say, holiness doesn't matter. You don't have to do anything. But holiness is like a wall. And if you don't have holiness, who are you inviting in? What are you inviting in? Don't leave yourself open. But be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. And we need the church. We need the assembly together. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Isolation in your life will bring devastation. Your little section of wall isn't going to hold up against the attack of the enemy if you build it outside of the city. And nobody's strong enough to overcome the things in their life alone. And let me say this plainly. So nobody here just thinks that I'm saying the wrong thing here. I'm not telling you that any of this stuff doesn't matter. The prayer closet and fasting and the word, it's all preparation for when the congregation comes together. That's where the fruit shows up. But prayer is the brick. The word is the brick. Fasting is the brick. Holiness is the brick. The church is the brick that we can build our lives upon. The brick is all of these things that we invest in. But the church is the building. And you need both. A brick by itself in a field never protected anybody. Amen. And when there is more brick, and you put more brick on top of another brick, and you join that brick with another brick, amen, it's what protects everybody. Amen. Together. Praise the Lord. Remember, the people said, let us rise up and build. Amen. Nehemiah 6:15. And I'm coming to a close here. So the wall was finished in the 20th and the 5th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. 52 days. And it was a ruin that had laid there for decades, for generations. And it was up in 52 days. That's miraculous. That's progress. That's gotta be wrought of God. Once the people had a mind to work, God did the rest. And the enemies didn't say, look what they accomplished. They perceived that the work was wrought of our God. Amen. That's what a rebuilt wall does. It's a witness. It's a witness to those who you never even talked to. It's a witness to those who never approached you with a question. Look, a life with walls is a witness just like a life without walls. But one, the devil pays attention to so that he can attack. And the other one, the devil has to listen to and know that you're submitted to God. Nothing in the kingdom of God, though, moves without somebody lifting up their voice. And just like Nehemiah started by saying, let us rise up and build, Jesus started this church with a commission just like that to build. See, after the resurrection, standing in front of two men that he was walking with, Jesus said this, Luke 24:46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's the connection. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and Jesus was going to start his church in the same place that they rebuilt the city. Amen? Before they ever went to Jerusalem, there was a cross. And I want this to be clear, because I know that talking about doing work, some people think that their salvation is earned by their works. Amen. And it's not about that. It's about you cooperating with the work of Calvary. It's about a living God. Amen. Changing your life with a living gospel every day. The remission of your sins was never purchased by your discipline. If it could be, you would have changed your life a long time ago. But it was purchased by his blood. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. And it all came down to his name. One name. Not titles, not names, but one name. Because there's one God. And he came in the flesh. And he has a name. Amen. So hear me before you even step out to try to lay a brick. You and I do not get to build our own thing. And we don't get to build wherever we want. No. Ephesians 2:20 says this, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There's just one foundation that you have to build your life upon. There's one foundation for the church. The apostles and the prophets laid it, and it's never been changed. And there's one cornerstone, and every stone takes its point and takes its line from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you build it on any other foundation, or if you build it on any other corner, it goes up crooked. It's going to fall down again. Amen. If you did that, it would be just be a project with your name on it. You could try to put his name on it, But it's not going to stand if you build it on the wrong place. And it would not be his church. We don't get to be the architect, the planner. No, we get the privilege of being part of the building. Amen. We get to join together with other people of like precious faith. Amen. And it began at Jerusalem. That was the same place that Nehemiah wept. It was the same place that he walked through all that rubbish. Amen. God started his church at the same place where he had already proved that he can rebuild anything. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jerusalem was first, and then it went out. Well, Montville is our Jerusalem. Judea is Old Lyme and Niantic and Norwich and Gales Ferry. Samaria is New London and Groton and Waterford. And the uttermost part of the earth starts at your driveway. Your neighbors. Look, they waited. They waited for 10 days and they got the promise of the Father. And Peter opened his mouth, and the people who heard it did the one thing that changes everything. They opened their mouth. They asked the question. It's in Acts chapter 2 verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? That's all they had to ask. That's the question of a person who finally looked at his own wall and said, "I can't do this on my own. I need God to help me." Acts chapter 2 verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repentance clears the rubbish. You can't lay one stone on top of a life that's never submitted to God. Baptism in the name of Jesus puts his name on the work in your life. All that we do in word or deed, Paul said, we do it in the name of Jesus, giving glory to God. Every one of you, in Jesus' name, for the remission of sins. And the Holy Ghost is how you keep building yourself on your most precious holy faith. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Then you'll be ready. Then you'll be ready for any attack. Then you'll be ready for any circumstance that life sends your way. Because you're not going to be able to rule your own spirit by your own strength. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. You can't build anything if you're not building it with the Spirit of God. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me today? Look, you have a section. You have a part to play. You have a piece of the wall to build. And no one else can repair it for you. No one else can build it for you. You've got to submit yourself to the plan and the will of God. But I know, just being in a church with this many people, I know that some of us have been grieving over a wall and complaining about a wall for years, but you never once said, let us rise up and build. And some of you have a gift in your hands and you never did anything with it. And some of you have never laid the foundation at all. You never repented. You've never been buried with Him in baptism. And you've never received the promise. I want to remind you, the rubbish does not disqualify you. The mess in your life does not eliminate you. The rubbish is what God wants to use to tell His story in your life. And it's a story of the goodness of God. It's a story of the grace of God. It's a story of the mercy of God. It's a story of transformation. God wants to do it. But just hear something before you come, just to be sure. I want you to know this, that the moment you start building, we already read about Nehemiah. People are going to distract you. Things are going to come against you. There's going to be people that try to take you somewhere else outside of the will of God. And you got to face the enemy too. Amen. And it came to Nehemiah. And they mocked him. They threatened him. They tried to do an injunction on him and try to get him taken and make the king say to stop and all distractions. They never stopped trying to get him off of that wall, Pastor. But watch what the workers did. In Nehemiah 4:17, and this is what I hope today, is that you'll do this as well. It says, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand, the weapon. The other hand, they held a weapon. One hand, they had a sword, and one hand, they had a hammer. Amen. One hand, they kept building. And the other hand, they kept fighting off every attack. Amen. The opposition never stopped. But they still had work to do. And I still have work to do on my life. I can't take a rest. I can't make excuses. I've got to submit my will to the will of God and keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. It wasn't just their faith that ran the enemy off. It gave them the nerve, though, to keep laying the stone. And look, you're not going to be able to rebuild decades in one altar service. So you got to come on back tomorrow night and pray. Come on back to Wednesday. Come to Bible study. If you have an opportunity to get in a class, get in a class. If you have an opportunity to pray at an altar, pray at the altar. If you have an opportunity to go with the kids to camp, go up there and worship the Lord. Take every opportunity that you have to keep on working where God wants you to work. Amen. So built we the wall, for the people had the mind to work. Amen. Do you have a mind today to build? Do you have a mind today to keep doing the work? Do you have a mind to let God keep working on your life? Amen. Come on this morning, this afternoon, and come and take some time to pick up the hammer, to pick up the sword, and begin to let God do work in your life. Amen. Where you can't. Amen. And pick up the sword. Pick up the hammer. Amen. And begin to do the work that God wants you to do. Amen. Come on. Let's bless the Lord today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you, God, to keep working in my life, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep on working in my family, my home, Lord Jesus. God, keep doing the work, Lord, that you started in me, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I love you. I thank you, God. Would you step forward and let God work on your family? Let God work on your home. Praise the Lord. Let's make a start today. Hallelujah, Jesus. All to your glory, Lord God. Jesus.
I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Sing it as a prayer, Jesus. My life is not my own. To you, Jesus, I give myself to you, Jesus. My life is not my own, Lord. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Build the wall. Someone say, build the wall.
Build the wall.
You know, that wall is right here. That wall that God gives me, the protection that the Holy Ghost has for me, the Word of God, the involvement in church, my life for Him. It's not a wall in the building. No, it's not a wall at your house. It's a wall in your spirit. It's a wall in your walk with God. When I fast and when I pray and when I worship, I'm building the wall in here. Amen. Keep building the wall. Amen. And God will keep you for Himself. Amen. Put another brick on the wall this week. Do something for God this week. Build the wall. Great message, Pastor. Great message. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. I pray that you would keep us, Lord, in your hand. Bless, Lord, your people and help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us, Lord, to understand that by the Holy Ghost, Lord, you will build us strong enough to be a witness to overcome the wiles of the devil. To be strong in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Bring us back again. Strengthen us, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.